everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Roost Podcast. As always, I am Carter Spires, here with my co-host Matthew Bartlett, the founder and managing editor of The Roost, your premier source for Rice sports news and analysis. Thanks to everybody for following along with us during this this extended off-season, this little interview series we're doing to help fill our time and hopefully help fill yours as well while we're all stuck inside without any sports. So hope you all have been enjoying that. You can follow The Roost on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all those good things. Hopefully you are already. You can also follow the feed for this podcast specifically, which I believe is at Roost Pod. Is that right?
The Roost Pod.
The Roost Pod, yeah. So follow along and be sure you don't miss one of these episodes. We have a lot of fun stuff for y'all. But this week we have our second JP of the series. It's JP Abercrombie, who is assistant AD for student athlete development at Rice. JP, how you doing?
Just great. Striving to be great and happy to be here.
Be here virtually, of course, as this is the norm, new norm nowadays.
Well, you know, it's about presence, and you can show up in a lot of different ways, so I'm here.
This is good. We have our first JP-ism, and we're 3 minutes in.
Oh, there's plenty more to come, so let's get this started.
Well, great. So I guess you can start by how exactly did you get into student athlete development, and giving us a little bit more about your background and how that led you to the field you're in, I guess, generally, and then to Rice specifically.
Yeah, well, I think the best thing to do is to probably take you all the way back. You know, I was born in Southern California. I grew up on the south side of Chicago, though, so I won't take you through all the fun details of that. But born in Southern California, grew up on the south side of Chicago, and I had family who was from the south. And so as I was thinking about what I wanted to do with my life and where I would go for college, the only logical place for me to go was to the East Coast. So I went to Temple University in Philadelphia. I was actually a student athlete there. So that's the first Go Owls I had in my life. So I get to wear my pride every day for that, but then also for Rice. So my double owl love over here. But at Temple, I was a student athlete for cross country and track and field. And it was there that I really started to develop my love for college athletics and really the student athlete development path. The funny thing is that I didn't even know you could work in college athletics until I was a sophomore in college. You might ask me what I was doing my freshman year, but that was just a big blur trying to get assimilated to life on the East Coast. But originally I decided that I thought I was going to be a speech pathologist. You know, I love language. I love communicating with people, meeting new people, and I'd always wanted to help others. So I think growing up, I just thought that was what I was going to do. But throughout some of my experiences as a student athlete, some of the things that happened to me personally while I was in college, I just had to make some changes. And it was then that the experiences that I went through as a student athlete really helped shape my career path. So I was really involved as a member of my team, but then also as a member of our athletic department, and had the opportunity to be the president of SAC, which is like a student athlete, student government. It's a student athlete advisory committee, and that exists on the campus, conference, and national level. And so while I was at Temple, I had the opportunities to be involved with that, both at Temple, we were in the Atlantic 10 at the time, and then also just being around Division I national SAC and really help shape the student athlete experience in a lot of different ways. And so around my sophomore year, I realized I could get paid to do that professionally. And I was like, this is awesome. I get to help people, get to mix out with my love of sports. And that really turned into some opportunities for me to continue to develop. From Temple, I did my master's at UC Berkeley. So I went from coast to coast there again. And that was just an opportunity for me to pursue my master's in the cultural studies of sport and education. So a really fancy way of saying that I focused on student development, higher ed, and then also a little bit of law as I tried to figure out what that path would be like for me. I knew I always wanted to be on the internal operations side and be more student-centric, but while I was at Berkeley, I had the chance to do some more external operations, helped out with marketing, fan experience there, and became really proficient with a t-shirt gun. So if you ever need me to do anything like that.
Ooh, that's a good resume filler.
Yeah.
Let's stick that one in there sometime and see if anybody notices.
Well, I've actually had to do a couple t-shirt tosses at Rice, so that's been fun. Our marketing staff knows that, and you know, I just get the
part of your pitch,
the shoulder warmed up. Look, I'm here for the team, you know. It's fun for me to be able to get our fans pumped up and throw a couple t-shirts out there or roll a couple up really quickly right before a t-shirt toss. So it's fun for me to be able to do that. But I started doing that while I was at Berkeley, and that was a really good opportunity for me to just see what the external side was like. I got to interact with our sponsors, interact with some of our season ticket holders a little bit more, our large community groups that would come in. So I really got to see a different side of college athletics, all the while knowing that I wanted to be more on that internal side. But I started to think about ways that I could bridge the gap between internal and external. And while I was out there, I was also on the academic support team for football staff and housed in football before transitioning into a student athlete development role, which then was called student athlete affairs. And really, it's the same job, just a different title. But I worked directly with 16 of the varsity sports. And then because of my previous relationship with football, I worked with them and was actually housed with them. So I worked with 17 of the 30 sports that they had there. About 950 student athletes, so a little bit bigger than what we get to deal with here. But it was never a dull moment, and I enjoyed it. But ultimately, I felt like I was a little bit too far away from home, and an opportunity came up for me to move back into the central time zone at Mississippi State, a little stark Vegas, for those of you who know where that is. And when that came up, I had the opportunity to go to Mississippi State as a life skills coordinator and really build out their program. This was the first time that they were going to have somebody in a life skills student athlete development capacity that didn't have any other responsibilities beyond that. So I was the first person to really build up that program and set the expectation for what the student athlete experience was going to look like there from a holistic development standpoint. And that was a great time there. Had almost 4 years, about four football seasons, before really being able to be presented with the opportunity to come to Rice. And because of some of the experiences I had had at State, at Cal, my own student athlete experience, I was really looking to align the academic and athletic pieces of what Division I offers. And I felt like Rice was going to be a great fit. And then, of course, I mentioned this earlier, that Go Owls piece really caught me. I love owls. So being able to be able to come on back and say that and wear my owls, earrings, necklaces, all that stuff without people looking at me too crazy just seems like more of a natural fit. And it's been a big ride since. You know, I started November 1st. A few days later, had football game. Actually, day one, I had two basketball games. So I kind of hit the ground running. And we haven't looked back, but it's been a fun year and a half, and it's still counting.
Yeah, that's crazy. And as not that we're going to get into any asides in our conversation, but the Go Owls tag, I on Twitter, I often find myself, because you know you can set those little filters to see whatever. So I just see who's tweeting Go Owls, and it's a good mix of Rice, Temple, Florida Atlantic, and then whatever high schools across the country happen to be Owls.
You don't get those Kennesaw State fans in there? Yeah.
Oh, this is good. I'm going to have to go look.
Oh, I think there's a couple more schools. Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of different types of owls.
No. We're going to have there's a fancy word for somebody who studies owls. Who knows it? Nicket. Yeah, we're Googling. We're going to have one of those. We're going to get one of those on our podcast. We got time. It's the longest off season ever.
You have to let me know when that one comes up. I'll be interested in that.
We'll get there. So you got to Rice, and other than operating a t-shirt cannon, and you mentioned a couple of broad things, but the student athlete experience, what does that mean, like on a practical basis? Like when you walk into the office, what sorts of things do you do to make the student athlete experience better?
Yeah, so I work with all of our teams. The fun way that I like to think about it is that I build bridges for a living. So you have our academic support staff that really helps with things in the classroom, NCAA progress towards degree, academic eligibility, and then they have their sports-specific coaches, you know, that really help with the X's and O's and what they do from an athletic standpoint. We have strength coaches, trainers. I'm just another piece of the puzzle, but instead of the academic component and the athletic and competition component, I get to handle just about anything and everything else. So that's why I love to say it's never a dull moment. I focus more so on the personal growth and professional development initiatives that really help round out that holistic experience. So it could be anything from financial literacy classes, values assessments, to resume writing, interview prep, or even just thinking about ways that the students can get involved beyond the hedges with what Houston has to offer. So there are a lot of different ways to tackle that. My relationship looks different with every team, even down to being different with every student. Some of them I have inside jokes with, secret handshakes, you never know. But it really is never a dull moment. And I love being able to have all those different types of relationships to really meet our students where they are and help them get where they want to go. I think for me, it's about finding out what drives them in addition to sport, who they are beyond just their athletic identity, and really encouraging and empowering them to be more than just an athlete.
And I know as a part of that over time that there's been some things and some programs that have either been continued or started that I think a lot of Rice fans probably have seen, like the graphics and the signage for, that you've kind of been a driving force in getting instituted. What are a couple things, I guess, your proudest, like, professional accomplishments, that what you've been able to do in your time here so far?
Well, I mentioned beyond the hedges, you know, that's a very Rice specific phrase. And it was something that, for us, it's a career development, career exploration opportunity for our student athletes. So similar to a campus career fair or career and internship expo that our Center for Career Development holds or hosts in both the fall and spring, we have the opportunity to host our Beyond the Hedges event, where we can invite different professionals from a variety of different fields, many of whom are either Rice alumni or Rice letter winners, so that they can come back and share their experience and their expertise with our student athletes, but also provide them a space to network and explore different career paths. That's something that was started before I got here, but I had the chance to revamp it, rebrand it, actually give it a name like Beyond the Hedges, and really partner with some of our colleagues across campus to make it a more fruitful event. So I mentioned the Center for Career Development. They've been an excellent partner in that. Our development and alumni relations team, especially when we think about being able to incorporate resources like Sally Portal into the student experience, into our alumni experience. The R Association is a part of that as well, just as we think about letter winners being able to help the next generation or even to help each other. So making sure that we take advantage of the relationships that we want to build and that we really foster an environment where our students can see all of the resources and opportunities that are present to them and take advantage of them, seize them, so that it's not just, oh, I had the opportunity or I had access to it, but that it's truly accessible within their student athlete experience. So I think that's one of the biggest ones that I'm really excited about. Then we've probably seen some of our other things on Twitter, like our Life After Rice programs. Again, that's a campus collaboration, largely through the development and alumni relation offices. They were hosting these Life After Rice panels, which are often lunches for demographics of students. Sometimes they'll break it down by major. Sometimes they break it down by another demographic. So we've actually been able to host two in my tenure. One we did for men of color student athletes, where we were able to bring back some of our alumni from different sports just to do a men of color panel who were all student athletes at Rice too. So in terms of the older crowd or our letter winners being able to impart some wisdom on our current student athletes, anything from how they navigated life in their residential college, how they chose their career path, what's something that they wish they knew while they were on campus, and then even how do they transition out? How do they transition into a life beyond college sports? Those are helpful topics. So that was one. And then we also did one for international student athletes, understanding that there are some things that population may experience that are a little different than the general student experience, but then also than the general student athlete experience. So how can we identify those special demographic groups and, again, meet them where they are and help them get where they want to go?
Yeah, and I won't point any fingers here, but there are universities, state schools, where you can go and you can get a degree in football, or you can get a degree in basketball, and you can totally focus and hone in on your sport specialty and get nothing else. What it sounds like you're telling me is you've made it impossible to come to Rice and not get both the athletic achievement and at the same time that development piece that goes beyond studying in your office hours or what have you?
Well, I can't take the full credit for that. You know, I think part of that is our athletic department administration, our leadership top down. You know, Joe does a really great job of explaining what he wants out of our student athlete experience or what those expectations are. Our coaches are awesome in terms of being able to work with them, learn from them, and help support their teams. You know, I really meet with a lot of our team's recruits. And in that process, I tell them they don't pay me to lie to you or for you. And I want you to make the most informed decisions you can about this experience. You know, it's not just a 4-year or 5-year decision. So I encourage them to ask me questions. I encourage active participation in that visit, but then also for our current student athletes. So I'm very big on engagement. I think where my office is in the Bixby Academic Center leads to that. So I actually have the first office within that suite, and people can't walk by the door with it being open with the lights on without at least acknowledging my presence, say wave, you know, we don't have to have a full on conversation, but I want our students, our coaches, our staff to be active participants in the world around us. I think one of the most unique things about Rice being in Division I is its size and making sure that we leverage that. You know, each of the institutions I mentioned earlier on this call are 20,000 plus, and Rice isn't that big. So how do we make sure that we play to our strengths and that we capitalize on the opportunities that are here? And I think that intimate feel makes it a lot harder to just slip through the cracks or to not take advantage of the opportunities because you have so many people around you saying, hey, take advantage of this. This is really cool. You know, to be at a place where your student to staff faculty ratio is about 6-1, it's really hard for a student to fall through the cracks. And for me, I'm a big person, again, on active communication, engagement, participation in the world around you. So I try and tell everybody about all these opportunities. You know, we launched the SOAR Network last year. We have emails, we have social media, we have one-on-one communication. I tell the coaches things like there's so many people to be a part of this experience with you. But really, there's only one me. So for me, it's about how can I empower and equip other people to serve as resources for our students as they experience this journey at Rice? And how do we help them get where they want to go? How do we position them to prosper and equip them to soar?
That was a good elevator pitch. I'm ready to sign up.
Yeah, nice job working in the acronym there. It's, you know,
hey, nice, it just comes nice naturally now. You know, it's fun for me. I get to use that language all the time, and it's not a pitch. Like, I hope it doesn't come off like that. Again, they don't pay me to lie to you or for you. That's me. That's what you get every day. And our students and our coaches will know this. I really enjoy what I get to do, and the opportunity for me to pay it forward, having been a Division I student athlete, having been an owl, is something that I'm excited about. It gets me up every day. And just to know that even in times like this, I have students who are depending on me. I have coaches who are depending on me to serve as a resource. I have alumni who are trying to get connected. How can I help build that bridge? How can I help be someone that makes our student athlete experience more worthwhile?
Yeah, and I guess, you know, because it's kind of hard to talk about anything these days without talking about how the current world situation, shall we say, affects things. How is presumably you, like all of us, are working from home, and obviously students aren't on campus right now, and there's not any ongoing things with sports, with the seasons and practice cancels, that thing. What sorts of things are you doing right now to keep in contact with students and for those that are put into really challenging or unusual circumstances? Like, I mean, even, you know, even the students that aren't having issues with eligibility or anything like that, you know, you have graduating seniors who are now going into a really, really uncertain, you know, the most uncertain job market probably in a decade yeah. plus at this point. So how are you keeping in contact with them and doing things to help them now?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And honestly, it's something that I'm trying to figure out every day. For me,
right.
It's really important to just do something and try and add some sense of normalcy to this. So you mentioned our graduating seniors. I've been in touch with all of them earlier this week, and it's going to be a process over the next few weeks to make sure that they're still in a good position, that they know what they're going to do. We have some really awesome stories that are going to come out of this class in terms of what people are able to do with the plans that they already have. But then I also know it'd be extremely naive of me to think that everybody already had their plan figured out before this happened. So making sure that I refocus my attention on those students that need support a little bit more and can still help them figure it out, help them navigate what's going on. Again, I mentioned the Center for Career Development. So I'm in contact with them weekly, if not daily in some cases, on resources, on our preferred employers, on opportunities that are still available. And there were over 200 opportunities that were still in our job boards in early March for Rice students. And so we're trying to make sure that as we work through our companies and our preferred employers, that those are opportunities that are still available. So that's a moving target. But I think the best thing I can do at this point in time is still be there for our students. So our sports med team, our sports medicine staff, our nutrition staff has done a really great job of putting together resources, whether it be healthcare related or just straight up, how do you cook during this time? How do you maintain your athletic nutrition, your diet plan there? And so, again, using SOAR Network, using my platform, how can I amplify those messages for our students? Mental health resources are very important at this time. So how can I make sure that they have access to that, that they know what's comfortable and what's available for them, whether they are in the Houston area or not? Again, I lean on our sports med staff and really work on amplifying what they're doing. We have about a rotation of, we try and hit about five, if not more, students a day from different teams. And it's really a collaborative process. So I'm thankful that this experience allows us to further the relationships that we built as a staff and that we're working together and we're supporting each other. We know that we're not alone in this, but we're really just trying to figure out the best way to support our students day in and day out. So anything from nutrition support, mental health and wellness, career development. This is actually a really great time for my people who didn't have a resume to work on that. They can't tell me that they don't have any time to do that right now. So making sure that
the excuses are gone.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, they weren't really good ones to begin with, but we'll find a way. So just making sure that I can be there and support for them. Again, sometimes it means I'm hopping on a video call and making Barry do a little dance for students just to make them smile and help them escape what's going on around them. But I think this is also a great time to challenge them to think about things differently. You know, for some people, their identity might have been wrapped up solely in what their athletic identity was. And this is a chance to encourage them to think about something beyond that, whether it's get a pet rock. I need you to take care of something else right now. Or for places where, you know, people aren't on stay at home, just can you get some fresh air? Can you go for a walk? I understand that it feels like the walls are closing in on you, but really just trying to support our students in the best way possible. I think it'd be naive of me to say that everybody has it all figured out or everybody's adjusting. It looks different for every person. And so in that, just making sure that I can help support them and be a member of our supportive staff the way that we were on campus and just know that that looks a little different. You know, I can't have students come in and write on my whiteboard wall, but I can still encourage them to communicate with each other or, you know, be active on social media in a positive way where they are sharing stories and pictures and memories. It was fun for me yesterday. I got to talk to a group of students from different teams and different age levels and just to hear how their individual teams are adapting to this or FaceTime calls this and game challenges over here and all that fun stuff. So I think overall they're adjusting and adapting as we all are and just being able to support them through that process is what I'm focused on.
And I think this conversation is particularly encouraging to me because I think for those of us who don't sit inside the walls of the Bixby building or just watching these games or these players on TV, I'm fortunate that I get to interact and get to know a lot of them face to face through just conversations. But is there maybe one or two stories that you can point to, whether it's job placement or relationships or things that you can kind of identify and peel back the curtain behind some folks that you know we've gotten to watch and see, but their development and what they've looked like, off the court or the field that of course that you'd be able to share?
Well, there's some fun stories for me. You know, it's really hard for me to kind of pinpoint any one over another, but this one, I'm going to be really excited and I can't give you all of the details because while I'm excited about what's going on, it's not 100% my story to share. But about 2 weeks ago or so, I tweeted that a head coach had come into my office and shared this really great story with me about one of our student athletes, and it's actually about one of our graduating seniors. And when she's ready, I know she'll tell everybody what her plans are for next steps, but she just got a huge opportunity to do something that I think maybe only 20 people, 25 people nationwide get to do every year. And so as we get closer to graduation and what those next steps are, I know we're going to feature this, but this is somebody who has won multiple conference championships and maybe saw their experience end a little bit earlier than they wanted. But man, she's not done yet. And it's going to be really fun to watch how she continues to grow even beyond her experience at Rice. So I get to share those things, but then it's also little fun things about, like, you know, I alluded to the whiteboard wall. And that's a space where I tell our students it's an opportunity for them to think about the mark that they want to leave on the world. And so sometimes a student will come in and write they want to get a certain GPA, or they have their own certain personal goals that they'll put on that space. And really that becomes an accountability wall now. So you've given everybody who comes into my office license to either hold you to that standard or check you if you're not doing what you want to do. So it's really fun for me to see how people set their goals and share that with others. So it could be something as small as I just want to make sure that I'm, you know, not spending all my money on Postmates. Like, yes, please don't do that. Or I don't need to buy that second scooter because I couldn't maintain my first one. I'm like, yes, real life conversations. But, you know, it's fun for me, having been here for a full school year, to look back at some of the things that the last year senior class did or were doing, even as they went on to master's degrees at Rice. And, you know, we have a couple student athletes who are going to be pursuing a master's degree while still competing. So it'll be fun to just be able to support them and know that they're going to have two degrees from an awesome academic institution, and then they're going to go on and continue to do great things. So it's a very vague way of me saying there are some really great stories that are coming out, and I can't share all of them, but know that some of them are going to be shared within the next few weeks as well. So stay tuned.
I like that. You're doing a tease better than we are. Next week, we're coming on the JP show.
There is no JP show. I do not have the time or the bandwidth for that. Just happy to be a part of this podcast, that's for sure.
All right. You did allude to, you mentioned the whiteboard, and yep. I know you've had a couple, you mentioned some of the series, the goals things. You've had, I believe, some fun facts that got written on there that you've enjoyed.
Oh, yeah.
And you mentioned Barry. And I think there's a goat involved somehow, or two goats. So,
So the goats. Okay. So this is a fun story. One day last year, actually almost a year ago to this day, I was coming back from a meeting on campus. My door was closed. Yes, it is. Thanks to Snapchat, I was reminded about that. but there was this little brown box outside my door, my office door. And I was a little confused because I did not order anything. It was also not really labeled pretty well, so I didn't know what it was. I picked up the box. I shook it. Had no idea what it was, so I was really apprehensive about opening it. The fun part for this story is that there was a student with me. I had them shake it. I'm glad they trusted me enough to shake the unnamed anonymous box that was outside my door, but they couldn't figure out what it was either. So we decided to take a trip down memory lane and go back to like high school bio as we started to dissect the box and open it. Had no idea what was going to pop out, but there's this green paper in there. So that's the first thing we saw after we opened a corner of the box. And as we opened it more, there was a goat, just like a little stuffed animal, a goat in there. And there's actually a company called You Goat Mail that allows you to ship anonymously stuffed animals to other people. Most of them are goats, but I had no idea who it was from. I had no idea what it was for. Eventually, we found a card in there that said You Goat Mail, and it turns out it was from one of my former students at a previous institution, and they wanted to send a goat for the goat. So the greatest of all time, apparently they think that I'm that for them, and they decided to send a goat to me at Rice and have it in there for all of our students to see. The green paper serves as like grass. So Jeffy, as one of our swimmers named him last year, has a box where he grazes and he sits in a corner in the office and he's there for the people. It actually says that on the wall, that Jeffy is there for the people. So he meets all of our recruits that come to my office. He's there for the students if they just want to come by and pet him. I tell them all to let me know if he starts talking back to them, because then we might want to talk about some other things. But now Jeffy's there for the people, and he's one of the goats of the office, and apparently I'm the other. So, yeah, two goats, a bear, a blue bear named Barry, B-E-A-R-Y, just for the sake of everybody knowing what's going on there. But, yeah, my office has a lot going on, but to some it's organized chaos, and, again, never a dull moment, but there's just anything and everything there. We've had aromatherapy lotions and hand sanitizers even before we needed to. So a lot of different sensory things going on. You can find something, even if you don't know what you're coming in there to talk about, and you might end up in there longer than you planned, but it's never a dull moment. So that's just a little bit of the colorful world of JP.
That's fantastic. And the bear just showed up as well as their story behind Barry.
So Barry was actually a gift for when I accepted the job at Rice. So I think it was a nod to everywhere that I had been. Probably the Golden Bears. I know Joe will enjoy my Cal references here. Joe and Tanner will probably love that. But he's a giant blue bear. He's about 48 inches. And he was blue because of Rice.
That is very large.
He's like a small toddler. He sits in the corner as well. He has
I have a small toddler, 48 inches.
A large toddler.
Well, his feet still dangle off the chair, so you know, we have that piece. But if people are having a bad day, they walk by. I remember the first couple of days that he was in the office, everybody kind of saw him in the doorway and just like, what is going on in here? But then he became a focal point of the show, to the point where people would come in just to pet him or squeeze him and wouldn't really say anything to me, which is fine. They came in. That's good. They wanted to come in the office and engage in that way. But, you know, he's just there for the people as well. Again, if somebody ever hears Barry and Jeffy talking to each other, I need them to let me know. But they're really just there to help brighten everybody's day. And, you know, if you're ever having a bad day, you can see them, you can smile at them. Again, I had a call with a student earlier today, and they were kind of missing things on campus, missing life on campus, but they had spent a lot of time in my office, so they knew Barry. And when Barry popped up on screen, you saw their whole face light up. And so it's just a really cool way to be able to connect with our students and still provide them some sense of normalcy. He's my coworker. I don't have a pet. He's my home coworker right now.
Say we might have time. Need to put together like a stop motion video of a movie of Barry during quarantine. The people demand it.
How is he as an office mate?
He's pretty quiet. You know, he hasn't left any cups or anything around, but sometimes too quiet. So I make sure that we have our lunch dates, and that he encourages me to get some fresh air if I can. I open the patio door, but he's really just there for support. You know, he's a quiet guy.
That's fantastic. Just kind of boiling, if you could boil down your entire experience into one large stuffed animal.
Mm-hmm.
You have that question answered already.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've yet to see a giant owl, but if anyone has one and they want to send it to me, I'm more than willing to accept.
I mean, does Sammy ever stop by?
Oh, you know, Sammy has stopped by on occasion, sometimes, surprisingly. And then those are some fun moments. So you have that piece. But then we also actually have one of our donors, Roger, who I need to check in on him during this time as well. He usually stops by the office just to say hey to everyone. But he's shared with me some owls that he has had. And so they have their own little space in the office as well. There was a little foursome that he had given me about a month ago. And I knew nothing else about them other than that they reminded me of the ghost from Pac-Man. And so those are their namesake. He just had these owls and he was like, you can take them if you want. So yeah, I have, Inky, Pinky, Blinky, and Clyde. They're a part of the office as well. And then he also gave me a stuffed animal named Mocha. We named it Mocha. Another student athlete has another one that is called Marble, just because of the design on its stomach. So we're getting more owls, more for the office, more for the people, you know. I'm just here for the people. So,
so never if there had been no work from home orders, you probably what by year two had your office overrun by stuffed animals.
Stuffed animals, display owls. You know what? There's a lot that goes on in there, but similar to the whiteboard wall, we take a picture of it at the end of every school year, and then we'll erase and start the next year fresh. So I'm sure there would have been some summer cleaning, not really spring, but like spring semester, summer session cleaning. we would have had to figure out which owls go where or if Barry stays or goes. But yeah, it's definitely a hop in place, and my nest is full, if you will, in there. But whatever it takes to make sure that people feel comfortable and invited and welcomed when they come to me, because sometimes I deal with the full gamut of experiences. You know, I mentioned being there to support our students, and sometimes that means that I'm one person that they come to when something bad has happened, but I could also be the person they come to when they want to share those really great experiences, like the one I alluded to earlier, that should be shared at the end of the semester. So, you know, I get to see it all. I get to work with all of our teams. Our campus partners come in too, just to, maybe they want to hide out. Maybe they want to draw on the wall. Maybe they want to say hi to Barry and Jeffy, who knows. But for me, it's just about how I can create that warm, welcome and inviting space for everybody to really feel like they belong.
You alluded to this earlier. We're talking about the working from home environment. Before we button and started recording, we were talking about, you know, things getting back to normal and what that is, if there is a normal. What's kind of next down the road? Obviously, you don't have a crystal ball that can tell us what the future is like and all the medical concerns and whatnot. But in the next coming weeks or semester, what are kind of some things that, you know, you have on your horizon that we should look forward to seeing on the student athlete, the developmental side, regardless of anything, if anything is happening on the athletic fields?
Yeah. So I think that's the unique piece about my role, that it's really more on that student affairs, student centric piece. So I think one of the cool things to look out for is that we're still plugging along with Vision for Victory. You know, my job was actually a big piece of that and making sure that we can offer this elite student athlete experience, especially in terms of personal and professional growth. So we're going to keep plugging away at what those opportunities that we present to our students could be, as the world around us is whatever that situation continues to be. I continue to adapt and evolve to that. So just making sure again that I meet my students where they are and help them get where they want to go. And as things continue to evolve, that means that my role will evolve as well. So we're still working on what Vision for Victory will bring to the table for us in every sense of that. And I think for me, this is another opportunity to be innovative, to figure out how we meet our students, especially those who may be international, and how we support them, knowing time zone differences and things like that. We were working on some cool things in terms of a mentor program that will resume once we kind of figure out what's going on with the rest of this academic year. You know, we don't want to add anything else to the plate academically that could be a burden or could be a trigger for someone. So just making sure that people feel supported and have the resources. But, you know, we're not done yet. Definitely a lot to still come from us. And for me, just getting started here, and I'm definitely excited about everything else that's in store.
Well, that is that's a lot. And I'm one of the reasons in a good way. And that's one of the reasons that I wanted to make sure that we got you on the show to talk about this. I know clicking on the news, which you have to be, you know, careful about nowadays, but there's not always the most encouraging things to look at. But I, for one, am always encouraged and enjoy talking about the adventures of Jeffy and Barry and the cool things that are going on. So I wanted to say thank you so much for brightening our days. I'm hoping to hear more stories of various when we all get back to, you know, in campus, if not normal.
Yeah, look, as long as I'm here, I'm happy to share them. Like I said, this is a unique opportunity for all of us to kind of flex and think outside of the way that we had traditionally done things. No matter how long this situation lasts, I think the way that we get through it is largely driven by our mindset and how we support each other. So yeah, it may be challenging. Yeah, it may be rough right now. But the interesting opportunity here is that we're all going through this together. So that should bring some more chances for us to kind of think creatively. You know, I've seen way too many Zoom meetings and Zoom requests over the last few weeks. But I think at its core, you know, it's a way for people to say that they're craving that attention and connection and interaction. So how do we capitalize off that, or how do we maximize relationships to really think about things in a new, innovative way, whether it be how do we, you know, fix what was wrong with certain sport cultures, or how do we better support our students during this time, or even how do we better support ourselves as staff members, as fans in this experience, and make sure that it is what we all want it to be. I think this opportunity, though this time is a little anxiety ridden for a lot of folks, it gives us a chance to really take stock in what we value and make sure that we're putting our time, energy, and attention in those areas so that we can continue to have a great life and really just a great experience and all the things that we really say that we want.
Again, thanks so much for coming on. It was really a pleasure having you on with us.
Yeah, again, happy to be here. And if you need some more pictures of Barry, or just, you know, a little motivational sign or two from him, I'm sure I can get him to do some work around here. Make sure he's pulling his weight.
All right. Well, I think that's it for this week. Thanks to everybody for listening, and Rice Fight. We'll see y'all later.
This show was edited and produced by Carter Spires. It features music from Joseph McDade.